الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah give us tawfiq to understand that this is a great day of Jumu'ah, and all the ibadat and the great virtues of Jumu'ah, may Allah let us acquire them. Particular among that is to read salawat ala nabi and to increase on Jumu'ah. Every day to read salawat, Allah's great ni'mat, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and great ni'mat how he made effort for deen and made such an effort that deen is preserved till today. After about 1500 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pure deen is still preserved by the great sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah let us appreciate that, and to save us from the fitnas of materialism, that is the fitna of Dajjal. Allah give us tawfiq to read Surah Kahf, at least the first 10 ayats every morning, the last 10 ayats every night, and on Jumu'ah to read the whole surah. And if we read the whole surah every day, much more better for ourselves, for our family, to protect our family. If a person wants to protect his family, he must come right. How much he comes right, Allah protects the family. How much we are wrong, it will show in our children, our wrongdoings. Outwardly, we can show, make a big show of piety, but inside what we have, al-waladu sirrul li-abihi. A child is the secret of his parents. What the parents have got hidden in their heart, that will come out in the children. So if we want our children to be looked after, we must look after the deen of Allah. We must preserve and practice on the deen. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Today, unfortunately, is the time when Islam is under attack from all sides. Muslims are under attack from all sides. And more worse calamity than that, that the Muslims who are conscious Muslims, who are conscious of the deen, are not even aware of it. We are fast asleep. And those of us who might know something about it, we are doing absolutely nothing. And worse than that, we are still involved in our dunya all the time. Earning more money, being busy in dunya, making sure our houses are 100% right, our cars are right, the details of our clothes are right, while Islam is being destroyed, while Muslims are being murdered and killed and tortured. But that means nothing to us. For us, our daily things are more important. So we can imagine what a sad state it is. And there is no one today, Pursan-e-Hal, who is worried about Islam, worried about the Muslims. The most we have is some talk shop. Just talk a little, that also is very, very little. We hardly talk about it. And that is the most that we do. If we just think seriously, today, now, to Jumu'ah day, which is a day of ibadat, who of us made dua for Islam? That we all will say Islam is being attacked. Who of us made dua for the preservation of Islam? Who of us made dua for the Muslims, whether it's in Palestine or in so many other parts of the world? And a dua doesn't cost us any money, a little bit of time. But who of us made dua? We hardly made dua. So it shows that how dead we are. And is that our iman is so dead that it, the hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the whole Muslim ummah is like one body. If any part of the body, he has got pain in it, it affects the whole body. If there's a pain in the toe, the smallest toe, little pain, a thorn pricked it or something, the rest of the body, we all feel it. The whole body feels it. And the ummah, that what it's going through, ask ourselves, do we feel anything? Do we feel any pain whatsoever? So either the hadith is wrong, na'udhu billah, which can never be. Otherwise, are we part of the ummah or not? If we don't feel anything, like a Jew, he'll be happy what's happening to the Muslims. A Christian, Hindu, they will be happy. And if I'm not feeling anything, then am I part of the ummah or not? Or is my iman gone so dead that I don't feel anything? And in Islam being under attack, and Muslims, these are two different things completely. Islam is separate, and being a Muslim is separate. And the much more important thing is Islam. Muslims are supposed to give their lives for Islam. Not Islam must sacrifice for Muslims. For Muslims to live according to the Jews and Christians, according to Western norms, then we can change Islam. Islam allows to be changed. But the Muslims must be looked after. That is how many of our ulama are treating the matter. Changing Islam to suit the politicians, to suit the media, the public, to suit the people. And we are changing Islam. Whereas Muslims must give their lives for Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what sacrifices he made for Islam. On one occasion, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came unannounced to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Usually she would inform, I'm coming, like normally it is, but she came without telling anything. She came in, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam was also surprised. Then she opened a cloth she had with her, and she took out one roti. And she said that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he managed to get some flour. And after 3 days that we were hungry, myself, Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, young boys, young children, 3 days we had nothing to eat. He managed to get this flour. I made 4 rotis. And we shared it out. Everyone had 1 roti. I just started eating, and then I thought, perhaps my father, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also hasn't got anything to eat. So she opened the cloth and she gave that 1 roti. She said, I just took 1-2 bites, but then I thought my father. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, my daughter, for 5 days I haven't had anything to eat whatsoever. And then he made it half, she ate half, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam made half. This was the sacrifices for this ummah. And then Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zaru Qatar rone lagi, crying profusely. My father, 5 days, nothing to eat. We, 1 meal we don't have. We don't have our tea. 10 o'clock tea, afternoon tea is a big problem. 5 days, nothing there to eat. And so she cried. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Fatima, nothing to cry. We are here to save the people from the hunger of Jahannam. In Jahannam, people will be hungry not for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 100 years, only Allah knows how long. And they will be screaming for some food. And then what food will they be given? A fruit of Jahannam that is full of thorns. And it will get stuck at the throat. And if we eat fish and one bone gets stuck in the throat, a small bone, it's a big problem, it's a big issue. But that whole fruit full of thorns will get stuck. And then to try and push it down, they will be given boiling water to drink. And that, because of that, will make the intestines to come out from the back. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is our mission. We are here put for that. We are not here for our hunger and our food. But today, what worry have we got? When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went to Taif in order to save the people from Jahannam and gave them the da'wat, what did they appreciate it? They put their sons, the young boys, the gangsters behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to stone him, to humiliate him, insult him, etc. And so much they stoned him that his shoes got stuck to his feet, so much blood came out. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fell unconscious, and only when they threw some, sprinkled some water somebody, and then he came back to consciousness. Then the farishta of the mountains, the angel of the mountains came and offered his service to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that I am in charge of the mountains, You just give me the permission and give me the order and I'll make this mountain crush this people to death. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, I've got hope that from the progeny there will be those who will accept Islam. And from them, Muhammad ibn Qasim Saqafi, the son-in-law of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he was from the people of Taif. And he was the young man at the age of 17 years, who went when the woman of Sindh, that is the province of Pakistan, India, which is a desert area, they send a plea that we are under great, great oppression here. Our respect is being destroyed. We are suffering greatly. Please send somebody. They sent to the Amir of the Muslims, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, send somebody to help us and save us. He sent his son-in-law, Muhammad ibn Qasim al-Saqafi, and he was only 17 years. And he went there, and he is the one who brought Islam in the subcontinent of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, this whole area. Most of us who are Indians and we come from that area, we have to be so thankful to Muhammad ibn Qasim that he came and we got the wealth of Islam. And what sacrifices they made. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after gaining consciousness, went back to the people of Taif. After they stoned him, they insulted him, they humiliated him, and he said, I'm the true Nabi of Allah. You are pushing me away. You are stoning me. I'm coming to you to save you from the malaika in the qabr, that they must not hit you. From the malaika in Jahannam, that they must not. I'm here to save you. You can treat me as you want to, but my duty, and I have to save you. And today we as Muslims ourselves, we are chasing Islam out of our homes. Our dress on our faces, there is no Islam. Beards are not there. And if it is a beard, it's not according to Sunnah. Our woman faces are exposed. They are not covered. Eh? From our homes, we, our houses don't look one bit like the Sahaba's houses. Fully like the houses of Fir'aun and Qarun. If we can see, our furniture, state of the art, the latest, our washing machines, our fridges, everything. Nothing anywhere close to the way of the Sahaba. Everything exactly how the West, we will look at their houses, their furnishing, their planning of the houses, our houses like that. Our gardens will be like that. We'll have swimming pools like them. We'll maintain it and having sparkling swimming pool. Everything like the kuffar we will have. And we are proud about it also. That we have got all these things. And no resemblance to the Sahaba. The simple life. If we will have to pass some informal settlement where the houses are much more closer to the way of the Sahaba, we will look down upon that way of life. We cherish the way of the kuffar today. And that is the condition of the pious Muslims. Condition of those of us who claim to be good Muslims, and we cherish the way of the kuffar, and we have a dislike for the way of the life of the Sahaba and the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simplicity, etc. We make terrible jokes about it. About any sunnah, we make jokes about it. We love the ways not only like the kuffar, our young boys and girls like devils, like shaitan. They are all under the spell of shaitan, long, long nails, tattoos on the body. And namaz and deen doesn't make any sense to them. All the other things, liquor, drugs, that's the order of the day. And they are our children. And this is our condition. While Islam is under attack. And under attack by who? First, the enemies, who are always the enemies. And in the shaitan lakum aduun, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaitan is your enemy, so take him as your enemy. Today, unfortunately, we have befriended shaitan. Nafs and shaitan are our worst enemies. And the worst from the two is nafs itself. Nafs made shaitan also go astray. But we have befriended them. Whatever our nafs will like, we do that. What shaitan tells us to do, we like that. What Rahman, Allah tells us, that we find it hard to accept. We find it hard to follow. But what Shaitan tells us, that readily we are prepared to do. Whether it's on the phone, whether we are walking on the streets, we go to the shops, we see other women, girls, etc., then our eyes are stuck on them. All what you see, what Shaitan is telling us. And Allah is telling us, don't look, we don't even listen to Allah Ta'ala. We don't pay any attention. So we ourselves are in that condition that we are destroying Islam. Anyway, first the enemy, who are the enemies, and they want to destroy Islam. And Shaitan was vowed when it was declared, you are going to Jahannam. He said, I won't go alone. I will try and take everyone of Bani Adam with me to Jahannam. And he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said, I will come to them from their right and their back, left, from the front and the back, and I will make sure I take everyone. And that is the agents of Shaitan are the kuffar. So they are the outward, they are the agents, and they do their work. And the work, they are going to Jahannam, and they want to take us also. And we also, like stupid fools, we are happy to accept their invitation. And we also say we will go happily with you to Jahannam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, and he said that, you people want to go into the fire, and I'm sitting and I'm holding you around your waist, and I'm pulling you out. But you make sure you get out of my clutches and you want to fall into the fire. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants to take us to Jannah. And we, Shaitan, wants to take us to Jahannam. It is the choice is ours. We are giving in to Shaitan. So this enemies, the West, the Crusaders, they first attacked Islam themselves in the name of the Crusades and the Crusaders. And they were the open enemy, and everyone understood these are our enemy. And the Muslim Ummah, as a Ummah, stood together that these are our enemies and they want to destroy us. And they fought them, and many wars took place. Many Muslims got killed. Many Christians got killed. But the new Muslim Ummah was the Ummah. They knew these are our enemies. For Baytul Muqaddas, how many wars were fought, and how many things happened. Then the time came when they saw that the Muslims are too strong and Allah's help is with them. And we can't penetrate them, we can't get through to them. Then they said what we call the Orientalists. That is, they're people who wrote books about Islam. They would write a book of 500-600 pages, and the whole book was to praise Islam and all the good things and the men of Islam. But they will leave one sentence with poison. For example, they write about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a great Sahabi and a great Muhaddith and a great, great person. The whole book is in his praises. So anyone will say these people are very fair and just, they are not biased. But the good things about a person they writing. But one sentence they wrote in there, but he used to fabricate hadith. That is, he should lie, na'udzubillah, and make his own hadith. So that immediately now brings, because Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, so many hadith are attributed to him. So we feel that the hadith is not, you can't trust the hadith. And in that way we are cut off from Islam. So in this way, many books like that they wrote. And when they saw that also is not having the proper effect, then they started using the Muslim public to stand against the ulama and against the ummah. Those people, young people, like for example, you have the what they call the young Turks. In Turkey, when they wanted to oppose the Khilafate Usmani, they created this what they call the young Turks. And their young people always oppose like old-fashioned things. They go for modern things. They don't want the old people or the old things. They want all modern things. So they wanted a modern Islam. So they got people like that. And that was throughout, everywhere. In South Africa, we had also so many organizations. Like, for example, the MYM, Muslim Youth Movement. and many others also, individuals also, who also had their own ideas, and they opposed the ulama, and they opposed the mainstream of the ummah. When that also did not work, to give a clear explanation and exposition of that, an alim of the UK was traveling to Bosnia for social welfare work. Allah made it in the plane, he was sitting next to a Jewish rabbi. And when they started a conversation, the Jewish rabbi told, "We have studied your religion, and perhaps we know your religion better than what you know your religion." And he's saying that to an alim, that we know your religion better than what you know your religion. And it is true, from my experience also, they have studied Islam, but not for hidayat. They have studied Islam not as they admire and respect Islam, but to destroy Islam. And when you look at Islam with an enemy's eye, you will see according to what you think. Like a pig, even if it goes in a garden, it only looks for dirt. The beautiful roses and flowers and that, it doesn't even notice that. So that is how they are. So that is what they, according to them, a pig's eyes, they look for, according to them, the filth and dirt, and they try and expose all those things. So then they work, so he told him that we have seen that Allah's help is not with us, they told. That we have seen clear. And Allah's help is not fully with you people, the Muslims also. There are those Muslims that have got Allah's help, but half only. Because they are half Muslim, half they are not Muslim. We sometimes are Muslims, sometimes we don't practice like Muslims. Half of things of Islam we got, many things we got. The most a good Muslim is today who's got little bit of ibadat, 5 times namaz, dresses like a Muslim, but as far as muamalat, business dealings are concerned, like zero. When it comes to muasharat, social living, as far as Muslim's life is concerned, like zero. As far as akhlaq is concerned, character, we are like zero. To give you an idea, if we have that in our lives, one conductor, train conductor, in India they call him a TT or a TC, ticket taker, or ticket checker, who checks on the ticket. He was on a long journey train, a train journey, and the train was about to leave. Just then, one Hindu man, his wife and daughter came, and they wanted to go. The mother was crying profusely. So, what's wrong? So, a death in the family, or serious matter, and we didn't have time to buy tickets also. And we are here, and we have to get on this train. So, he was a true Muslim who had Islam in him. Today, we are in Islam, but Islam is not in us. We are calling ourselves Islam, but Islam is not in us. He was a person, Islam was in him. So he gave them immediately place to sit, and himself, he picked up their luggage, their bedding, their bags, and he put it upright, everything. Then he started making out their ticket, which is permissible. You buy your ticket at the ticket office, or on the train you buy from the conductor. So he made the ticket, whatever it came to in those days, 200 rupees, 150 rupees. So they gave him 200 rupees. He gave 50 rupees back. So they said that, no, this is for you, like a bribe. So he said, no bribe, it's illegal. You got your ticket, I made your ticket, 150. So they say, chai pani, just little bit, some extra, some salt and pepper. So he said, no, we Muslims, we don't sell our deeds for akhirat, which where we'll get so much of reward, we don't sell it for 50 rupees here. For the small money of this dunya, whether it's 50 million or 50 billion, we don't sell our deeds. So that person was very impressed. And then he sorted out other passengers also, everything. Not as a TT, but as a Muslim TT. With consideration, respect to everyone, looking after them. Then his time of duty was over. Whatever he said, how much he had to work, and then he started making ta'lim in the train, and reading all that of good character, about Jannat, about Jahannam, this got everyone worried, loudly he was making, Muslim people were there, non-Muslims were also listening, Then the time of namaz came, he gave loudly azan. And then he made imamat himself. And after that, he made zikr, and then he made dua. And dua for the sick people, for the people in difficulties. These people, non-Muslims, were totally taken aback. So that man who came just before the train left, he called him. He asked him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a Muslim." So he said, "According to me, I'm the leader of my political party. And to me, according to me, the worst people in the world are the Muslims. And until every Muslim is not killed, there can't be peace in the world. And therefore, we cause riots everywhere. We destroy the Muslims, their women, we rape them. We burn down their businesses, their houses, because they are the worst people. But today I see you change my heart completely. If this is what Islam is, and this is what your Rasul, what he was hearing in the Ta'lim, that this is what Rahmatul Lil Alameen taught, I've changed my heart." Then he told him that I want you, he was from Bombay, "One day I want you, 24 hours you must come to Bombay." He said, "Then what are you going to do?" He said that, "I'll call all the other political leaders, and they must just see you, that who, you're not a human being, you're a farishta. And these are Muslims what are like this." So he said, "I can come, no problem, but there are many like me in Bombay." He says, "Is that true?" He said, "Yeah, plenty. And India even more, and better than me also." Then one taxi driver in Bombay, he took one Hindu person in his taxi, wherever he had to go, dropped him off. And when he dropped him off, then that person forgot his bag, his attache, in the taxi. The taxi driver was driving around, he didn't know. When he noticed it, after about 4 hours, so he said, "Oh, that was the passenger, this is his bag he left." He knew where he dropped him off, he went back there. Knocked on the door, "Who are you?" "The driver of the taxi, and this is your bag." He said, "I was gone mad. All, how much of money was in there, cash, money. And all my important documents, very important documents were in there. And I was gone out of my senses. And here you come and you..." He opened it immediately. I'm sure he was sure he'll get an empty bag. And he counted his money, everything, 100%. All his documents. He gave him 500 rupees many years ago. 500 was a very big amount. He said, "No, we don't sell our amal. For what my duty is, Allah will pay me. And what Allah is going to give me, 5 billion rupees also, and 500 billion rupees can't pay for it. We don't sell our amal." He said, "You'll have tea?" He said, "Yes, I'll have tea." And that was his excuse, that he's got a chance now to give them da'wat of Islam. So when he went in, the whole family came there. And he started talking about Jannah, Jahannam, and good akhlaq. They were crying. What's going to happen to us in the Akhirah? So that is when Islam comes in us. Today they got the modern people. And then now is a sad time that has come, that they got the ulama of the ummah to destroy Islam. And the ulama of the ummah are destroying Islam. And about Palestine, about what's happening. Nobody is talking also. The Uyghur Muslims, the Chinese Muslims, what they are suffering. And also the Rangoon Muslims, what's that? The Rohingya refugees. All these people, and many places, Syria, how the government, under what is happening in Palestine, few people's attention is here. But worse things are happening by the Shias, how they are killing the Muslims, how they are treating the Muslim woman. And the Muslims who have gone as refugees to Turkey. Turkey is supposed to be a strong Islamic country. How they are suffering there. And all this is just covered up. And we are just quiet. And our own people. And now at the moment, there is news of this Maulana Tariq Jameel coming, who at one time was also a good Muslim, very good bayan, and now he's a complete sellout. And we have to be aware and careful about these things. Mauli Saad just came with all his fitna, and now Mauli Tariq Jameel, all is to destroy the Islam of the people. So So we have to be on our guard, inform other people also. And not only these, there are many more. Today they have planted their agents right in Darul Uloom, Deoband. And these are global figures. Then people on the local scene here, also how many of our ulama here in South Africa, saying we must follow the Kuffar constitution, which says that all its religions are equal, so we must accept it. And Allah says clearly the only religion by Allah is Islam. And Allah will only accept Islam. And they follow all this. About a marriage bill, what the government laws are, we must follow that. And we must shelf Islamic law. Islamic law we mustn't follow. And how many other things? But we are fast asleep, we are not interested. The problem and the fault is doesn't lie with them, it lies with us. The animals are animals. If they behave like animals, they understood they are animals. But when humans behave like animals, then what is said is the kuffar are the kuffar. They are going to do the things of the kuffar. But when Muslims do the things of the kuffar, then what hope have we got? We were supposed to protect not only ourselves and our people, we are supposed to lead them to righteousness. But we haven't protected ourselves, and we are following them on the road to Jahannam. And we are happy singing and dancing and going to Jahannam. So Allah give us the tawfiq to become aware that what our duties are. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that when all these fitnas are there, and those ulama who don't speak about it, they not their faras will be accepted by Allah, not their nafal will be accepted. And this is not only for the ulama, for everyone. When we see the wrong being done open in front of us, somebody wants to attack our family, want to steal our money, we'll do what we can. Islam is being attacked, nothing we do. Muslims are being attacked, nothing we do. And we are accomplices to all these crimes also. May Allah guide us, give us a tawfiq and understanding, and that we do our, and remember we have to die, and we're going to face Allah in the Akhirat. We're going to face Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who sacrificed so much, that how much I sacrificed in tithe, my hunger I went through, my difficulties, and then this is what you did to my, for your sake I did all this. And this is now what you did to me and my religion. What are we going to answer? What punishment are we going to face? Allah give us tawfiq.